We are continuing Bezus Hashem in Yanei Tfila. This has been something that has helped me out a little bit, Baruch Hashem, focusing on, in particular, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things. The Iker of Tfila, we said, we'll get into with Bezus Hashem Yisbarach as we go along, different parts of Tfila, but the Yisod of Tfila is to be able to ask Borei Olam, to be able to ask Him for what you need. We pointed out that this is the kesher that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship that's established. And like the Medrash says on the Pasuk, Karav Hashem l'chorav l'chol asher yikru'uhu be'emes. Hashem is close to those who are really calling Him, really attached to Him, really believe that it's going on. And as much as you believe that it's going on, you're having a davening. In fact, a person who davens is exhibiting a tremendous amount of emunah. There's a big question that the Rishonim are bothered by. Why is davening a mitzvah? This is a very big question. Why is davening a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to ask for what you want. And the Sefer HaChinuch alludes to an answer. The Mabit in Beis Elokim asks this question beferish. He says, how can you be mitzvah someone to ask for things? Maybe he doesn't want to bother Hashem. He has to ask for things, and we ask for things so many times. Okay, Minat Torah, once a day according to the Rambam. But three times a day we're busy asking, and there are people who ask in between. What's all this asking? It's a mitzvah from the Torah. So the Mabit says yes, because you're building your emunah. Somebody who believes that he has an address with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason he's mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa is because he's entering a zone of understanding what life is about and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching him. And it's a mitzvah to engage in that relationship. It's a mitzvah to believe that and to foster that relationship. And it's not something foreign to us. It's not a Purim costume, even though it feels like that while you start working on davening. But as you daven, just like a beaver knows how to build a dam from birth. It knows how. It just gets out there and it goes. A yid knows how to daven. A yid knows how to daven. It's just that we've been so programmed to run out of davening from when we're little in school and whatever it is, and we think it's something that's a drag. But deep down in us, if we cultivate that chelik of our neshama, we will find that in there always was something and is something and will always be something that communicates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that's hard to experience. I get questions from Bachram. There are certain times, this happened to me already twice in this yeshiva, that Bachram have described to me situations during their davening that are such high experiences that the only reason I know about them to be able to refer Bachram to them is because I've read in the Svarim HaKadoshim that this can happen to a person while they're davening. A few years ago, somebody told me they were davening on Rosh Hashanah, one of our Bachram, and they just started traveling somewhere. Okay, and it wasn't a crazy Bachur, very cool guy, very normal. Another one recently. There's something going on and it's never prepared. Someone I know, a close Talmud of Revolba, asked Revolba, he says, can you get these things all the time? Can you get these, like, travel modes in Tefillah? And he says, it's a gift, we don't know how it happens, but the reason it can happen is because it's inside of you. The communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that's so real by us, but we're not tapping in. So that's why we're working on it. All you have to do is do it. You just start to try to have a real conversation with Hashem. Not to daven like you think it is, like it's a period in school, but actually try to communicate with Borei Olam, and slowly but surely you feel that you've entered a different place, that you've entered Mamish Eikodesh Kedashim. And a person has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of all the problems. That's a part of the emunah. The Rashba says in Tshuva, Melech Oizer Umoshia Umagen. Wow, it's a lot of names of Hashem. He's a Melech, he's a king, he's a helper, he's a saver, a salvation, and he's a shield. Says the Rashba, there's no one like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says there are people who help out. They're Ozer. They help out, but they're not fully successful in what they try to help out. Then there are people who are Moshia. Not only do they help out, but they schlep you out of the situation. That's much better. And then there's a mugging. A mugging is someone who shields you from the problem altogether. You dodged a bullet and you didn't even know. And there's so many times in our life where we're dodging bullets we have no idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a mugging, is sometimes shielding us to the extent that we don't even know that there was clear and present danger. We b'chla, we're just going on our merry way with our beats on, going, didn't even know that there was a drive-by right when we were going through, you know, Harlem. We're just strolling down there. There's a drive-by. Just missed us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mugging. And this is our Bari Olam. This is who we communicate with. And when somebody comes to Bari Olam with this in mind, they're reaching very high madregas. They've achieved something in life. It's not just because they want something and now they're asking from Hashem. No, if you daven well, you're a big person. You're a big person because already what is involved in davening is a certain level of emunah and connection with Hashem, which makes you big. Hashem was mitzavet to daven because he wants to see if somebody can really connect with him in that way. And if they do, that is the achievement. You've hit it. You've hit the achievement. I believe the Mabit says that why do we come out of a Shmona Esrei? We say modim. You know what we're supposed to be saying in modim? Modim is we thank Hashem for what we got from Hashem. I don't know what to say. We thank Hashem in the middle of davening for what we got. I don't know. We didn't get it yet. You know, we were davening for it and it didn't come. Maybe there's going to be a call right after Shmona Esrei that we got it. But it's a little bit strange. We're davening and then we have to thank Hashem. Ki ilu, we were makabo pras from Hashem. We got the thing. We didn't get the thing. Says the Mabit that the pshat is no. That we act like we got it. We got the thing that we wanted. Because ultimately what really matters is the asking. We don't even almost, if you can say this, and I'm telling you, I've heard this from people, and I myself have at some point experienced this, where you feel the davening was so good that whether you get answered or not wasn't the major thing. It was the davening. Ke'ilu, you're coming to Hashem and saying you feel like you got something just because you were able to ask. A very high madrega, but it's a relationship, Rabosai. It's a relationship. So we're going to try now to go a little bit further in how much a person has to ask for. How much in life do we have to ask for, and how much is there like an automatic? You know, there's automatic and there are things you have to ask for. How much do we need? And the answer is, the Mabit in the Beis Elokim says that an Adam, a man, is the only one who has to daven an entire creation. Malachim do not have to daven. It's true they say Kedusha. You know, they do. They ride the wave of our Kedusha. It's very interesting how that works. They don't say their own Kedusha. We just sort of send Kedusha and they sort of go with it. Very complicated sugya in Nefesh HaChaim and the premius of Torah. But they don't daven. Malachim don't daven. Why? Because Malachim do not have needs. They do not have needs, says the Mabit. Not only that, but animals don't daven. Animals do not have to daven either. In fact, there's a wonderful world of nature, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that these animals are quite self-sufficient. I once saw a horse giving birth to a horse. It's pretty interesting watching that one. And the horse, the baby horse, just walked away. That was pretty, you know, that was really interesting, you know, to watch a horse and then it's ready to go. He's got those four legs. You know, what do baby horses do? They start walking right away. Unbelievable. There's a certain independence over there. Now, of course, there are animals that don't have independence, but they have a system of how to take care of their young. And everything is sort of going in the wonderful, perfect world that Bari Olam made. These animals, they do not need to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? People are not that way, guys. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but if a guy doesn't shower for a couple days, so first of all, everyone here knows about it. But okay, animals smell bad too. But you get rashes on your body, Rabosai. My baby gets diaper rashes, right? Nails, our nails, you know, our nails are growing too long. Our hair gets in our way, the way of our face. Have you ever seen a donkey that's hair is like, whoa, man, I can't see. I never saw a donkey like that. And I don't believe that they get haircuts. I do not believe they do. Their hair stops growing when it becomes impractical for them. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human being, it's fascinating, is that he needs to be groomed. He needs to be taken care of. His beard could get really out of control. He could trip on his beard. There's no goatee from a goat that he could trip on, Rabosai. It's a fascinating thing to think about. There's no hippopotamus with a diaper rash. Now, it is true that I saw in one of these safaris that like birds were landing on the hippo and like hanging out over there. And I don't know if he liked it. Didn't seem to bother him. He's got tough skin. It's not like our skin, Rabosai. It's, if you ever wore a hippo jacket, it's chazak. It's very, very strong. We're extremely frail. Our body needs clothes. We're the only creation in the world that needs clothes. We're the only creation that needs shoes. If, you know, it'd be good to be a horse. You know, you got those hard bottoms, those hooves. You could go places, Rabosai. You wouldn't need to buy shoes. Every part of us, it's wondrous to think about this. Every part of us is timid, meager, requires taking care of. And the Mabit says it's for this reason and another reason. In our ruchnius, we're really doomed. We're such frail beings. We're barely making it through Olam Hazeh. We were created this way because we're supposed to daven. The whole nature of our existence is to be cognizant of the fact that we are weak, that we require more. And that is the nature of man. A person comes. Rav Avigdor Miller was once at Zatzal. Was once at a Beis Olamim, and he saw a woman there. She was there visiting the grave of her late husband, and he said to her, what happened to him? She said, he was born without nose hairs. He was born without nose hairs. Apparently, nose hairs filter a lot of the germs. Usually people are like plucking those things out. Don't do it so quickly. Nose hairs, every part of us, but there's so much going on by a human being, and it's in order to realize that everything needs a Shemona Esrei, every single part of our lives. Hashem created us this way because the nature of our lives is that we're supposed to make it through with a tefillah. And the Ramchal in Derech Hashem takes it to the next madrega. He says, this is his definition of tefillah. In Chelek Dalet of Derech Hashem, Perek Hamishi, Inyan hatfilahu, the nature of davening is, the definition of davening is, minastarm shesidra chachmel yona, the way Hashem set up the world, shiyus and evroim mekablam shefa mimeni yisbarach. Hashem sends down blessings of all types of things, gashmias and ruchnias, but on one condition, tsarech sheyis oiru heim elav yiskar v'yivachshmanav. You must ask for the things. You must ask for them. Ukefi his orusam, and according to the level of asking, ken yimashich aleim hashefa. That is how much you'll get. V'im lo yisaru lo yimashich, and if you don't ask, you will not get it. Now, you could ask me questions about this. The truth is, I'm a simple Jew. I don't know. You know, but people are getting things all the time and not davening. I don't know. Maybe they had one good Shemona Esrei, and they don't realize they could be the next Bill Gates. But the problem is they only had one of those Shemona Esreis, and now they just have a job with $200,000 a year. It could have been $1 million a year. Just because people are getting things, you don't know what. And it could have been that they would have been Mesayim. Some people could have been Mesayim Shas and Daf Yomi. Instead, they're Grubba Amaratzim. Some people were Mesayim Shas and Daf Yomi. Could be Yodim of all of Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Some of the Gemara Rashi Tosfos people could know Rashbas, Ritvas. Other ones could be Gedolei Paiskim, and now they're just nice people. Great nice people. But all of this is coming from davening. Everything that you want in life, you have to believe comes from a davening. How it works, I don't know. But we believe that Emunah Shleima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, that as much as you ask is as much as you get. It could be that what you're asking for is not what you're getting. Sometimes that's not good for you, what you're asking for. But we know that if you ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you usually say is, Kol Mishalos Libeinu Letova. Hashem, I want everything that's good for me. We don't like to ask for too many specific things. You're not supposed to ask for an exact girl to marry, because if she's not the good girl, you might get her anyway. And that's not a good deal, not a good thing. You just say, Hashem, I want the right shidduch. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as you're sincere, is putting out that shefa. So this is the yisod. The yisod is that someone must daven in order to achieve. And when a person realizes that this is the only way, so then it changes their life. It changes the whole way they see things. It's Mefurish Be'emes in a Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida says that there are three things that a person would like to have. Children, in particular, Zacharim, Talmidei Chachamim, They would like to have wealth, and they would like to have wisdom. And the Gemara here gives a recipe for all these wonderful things. How does a person become wise? So the Gemara says that a person should sit yarbe b'yeshiva v'yimayit b'schora. He should do less business and learn. That's how it works. Then the Gemara says, many people did that. Harbe asu kein v'lo ho'ilohem. It didn't work. There are a lot of people in yeshivas who you ask them what they did last month, and they're like, huh? Wait, you've been in yeshiva for 3 decades. Right, but this is this month, and last month was, yikes. Guys, there are a lot of these types of people, okay? I hope I'm not one of them. I think I am. That's the scary part. But there are a lot of people who sat for a long time and did not become Talmidei Chachamim. So then the Gemara says, what? Ela yivakshu rachmim mimishah chachma shalo. You have to daven for it. And then the Gemara concludes that why didn't it just tell us to be marbe b'yeshiva? We should just daven? No. The answer is that ha b'lo ha lo sagi. You need both. You need to work hard, learn hard, and you need to daven hard. And it's mashma in the Gemara. This is not a sugya, Rabosai, of hishtadlus and parnasa. The Gemara goes on for that. Here it's talking about, what do you want from the guy? He's such a great guy. He's learning bahasmada atzuma. Hasmada atzuma. And it's not going. And then he gets to Shemayim and he says, Bari Elam, I learned all day. He says, your davening is on a third grade level, Hashem says to him. It's on a third grade level. Every time you start davening, you're spacing out. And I'm sorry, there's more to it than just learning. A person has to realize that their whole metzias of ruchnias is tied to tefillah. And then, of course, the Gemara goes on and says to be wealthy, you have to make a lot of investments. And in addition to making a lot of investments, you have to daven like crazy. And also the Gemara gives a system for banim zecharim. But this is the yisod. The yisod is that when a person goes into davening, they have to believe that this is really important. So pivotal in their lives, it creates a different type of tefillah. When you realize this nekuda, you realize you're shooting yourself in the foot when you don't come to davening. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Because if all of the things that you're so frustrated about could change from actually believing that you're entering a zone with Borei Olam, and you're telling him, and based on that, the Ramchal says systematically you will get whatever you want, even though it's hard to know exactly and pinpoint when and how, but systematically that's what will happen. It's a different davening, a different seriousness when you go into that Shemona Esrei. You have someone sick in your family, you feel a, Rachmana Litzlan, you feel a certain responsibility. When you go 3 steps in, you go, it says, the Ramchal says, he's Megala, the Ramchal had a chavrusa with Eliyahu Hanavi and many others that had long since gone in Klal Yisrael, okay? He was not somebody who to snuff at. The Vilna Gaon said he would have traveled by foot to Italy to learn under the Ramchal. The Vilna Gaon, who... It's not clear what the Ramchal could have taught him that he didn't know. He would have walked by foot. He would have walked by foot. And the Ramchal says that if you daven, yes. If you don't daven, you're not getting it. If you think you got it, it's not what you thought. You're getting the Bozo Prize. You're getting the Bozo Prize for the guys that don't daven, some sort of derivative that just floats down from Shemayim for the people who don't know how to ask for things. That's what you're getting. And if a person has this understanding, it's a different davening. You take a responsibility. My relative is sick, Rachmana Litzlan. I must ask. In Rifa'enu, I must have some sincere, please, Hashem, please, I know this is real, I'm asking you, please give this person a refuah shlema. Lefi that please, lefi that hope, lefi that way you're coming to, that's exactly, scientifically, the way Hashem will bring down Shefa for that person. You can give a person years and years of life. You can give him 5 days of life. We will never know, Rabosai. It could be your Shemona Esrei will pump a person with five extra days where they did so many mitzvos and got so many kaparas for Yisurin, and you think your tefillos weren't answered because 5 days later you heard and you had daven like crazy. We don't know squat about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers things. But we do know one thing, that if you don't daven, you didn't do anything, and if you daven, you did everything. This is what tefillah is. And Rav Yerucham says something incredible, incredible. Rav Yerucham says... We mentioned last time that when Klal Yisrael was going towards the Yam Suf, they were totally surrounded by the Mitzrim, by the Yam, by the Midbar, everything, they were surrounded. And then they decided, you know what, it's time to die. And it's a very strange lashon in Chazal. They say, it's this lashon, Tafsu umnosam shalavoseim. They took the business, the profession, of their grandparents. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's the profession of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? That they used to daven, and we know Avraham instituted Shacharis, Yitzchak instituted Mincha, and Yaakov instituted Maariv. Okay, and now they cried out to the Rabbono Shalom to save them. And then they were saved, Baruch Hashem. They were saved. Rabbi Rucham says he doesn't understand this at all. He says, listen, when Avraham came into Shacharis, he woke up in the morning, he did Netilas Yadayim, whatever Avraham Avinu did that doesn't tell us in the Psukim, he went out there and he started a davening. It was probably a Halig davening, it was a Geshmak davening. It was every day, but it was not a stressful experience. It was just Shacharis. Avraham started Shacharis. That's what he did. Yitzchak, when he went Lasuach Basada, he went and he did what we call Mincha. This happens every day of Yitzchak's life. This was not a federal emergency. This was what we call Mincha. And Yaakov, he went far and he said, oh, missed the place where my parents came and were Mispal. Go back. He comes and he davens. That's Maariv. This is a very calm davening, Rabotai. You're comparing this emergency situation. Imagine the Mitzrim are charging, Rabosa. You've got a big sea in front of you. You've got a desert. You've got nowhere to go. He's like, let's do Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. That's the umnus of our fathers. That's not what Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv are. This is something called screaming, pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emergency davening. It must have a different name. Rabbi Rucham doesn't understand what's going on over here. And he says, there's only one answer, Rabosa. You know what the answer is? When Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov davened Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, it was with the same intensity of that life is on the line as Klal Yisrael, when they were standing there by the Yam, and it was a dead end for life. There was nowhere to go. When Avraham woke up in the morning and he went into Shacharis, he said, my morning is totally dependent on this davening. It's make it or break it. And he walked into that with such an intensity. When Yitzchak went into Mincha, he said, is Mincha until Maariv time? This is it. It's all riding on this. And Yaakov's Maariv, they lived with an understanding that there's a big blank in the day. From davening, then you see what happens. Davening again, see what happens. But they lived with that reality. And Rav Yerucham said he's embarrassed. Because at that time, you saw, and you can read and learn a lot about history from reading Rav Yerucham's writings. He's now in the time, the rise of the Nazis and the Russians, and he's talking about all these different laws they're placing on them. They're speaking to the Talmidim. It's amazing, frightening to hear. He says, they're getting away with so much. Nobody's saying boo about all these laws they're placing against us. And he said, this is a time to really daven. This is a time to really daven. He said, then he says to himself, I can't believe it. I think today is different than another day. What? 5 years ago when it was good, it wasn't equally dangerous? And Rav Yerucham said, when he came to that realization, he realized this pshat about how Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov davened. Every day is an emergency. You just, sometimes the emergency bumps you in the head and you realize it, and other days you have to know be'emunah shlema that this davening is your health. If nobody is sick, then daven refa'enu very hard so that it keeps to be that way. If everyone's parnas is good, then that barech aleinu should continue. If nobody's being taken captive, yeshiva students and soldiers and whatever it is, then that Goel Yisrael should be even stronger for preservation. Really, these things should be happening all the time. What is across the street? A bunch of Meshuganas who would love to knock us all out, Rabosai. Every one of those people. Why don't they just get a bunch of machine guns and just start spraying us? I have no idea what the answer is to that question. I really don't. They're right here. They're next door. We are in the we're in a place that is so incredibly dangerous. Our yeshiva, the parents should send you guys all home. You know what? How everybody over there would love for us to die. To die. Each one of us, they would celebrate. We're right next door. We put our yeshiva over here. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. The only answer is, Baruch Hashem, there are people davening. And there's a Kadosh Baruch who is watching over us. But everything is an emergency. Everything is together, something that needs a tefillah, that requires that seriousness of davening. And there's a big question, though. In our ruchnias, really, also, in our ruchnias, if we don't daven, we just go down. We just go down. How are you allowed to daven for Ruchnius? You know, Ruchnius is like what we're here for. We're here in the world to serve Hashem. Hakol b'yidei Shemayim chutz mi'ir Shemayim. Everything's in the hands of Hashem, except for your yiras Shemayim. You're on your own when it comes to Ruchnius, because Hashem wants you to get a good grade, and then He'll give you all that schar and olam haba. That's one thing that we really know to be true. So what are you davening for? What are you davening for in your Ruchnius? And the truth is, if you don't daven for your Ruchnius, you're gone. But how can you daven for your Ruchnius? Because then you didn't do it. Hashem's doing it. How do you get credit for it? Says the Marsha in Brachos on Daf Yud, that when somebody davens for Ruchnius, they've already made a choice. That they want to be on the team of Hashem. They want a life that's better in Ruchnius. That was a decision that you get credit for. Just the fact that you daven for that thing makes you what's called a Baal Letaher. You're somebody who wants to clean up your act. When you daven for that, that's called something that you did. You did that. Hashem, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. When I read Torah, I just want to go take a coffee break. Hashem, help me. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. Bring me to your Torah. I want to take a coffee break as soon as I open the Gemara. But you davened for it. You don't want that situation. You chose. You chose to daven for that, and you are credited with that, and if you're able to make it 10 minutes longer that day, before the coffee break, that Shmona Esrei was your decision. You did it. Rav Dessler, in Michtam Eliyahu, Chelek Gimel, says that the Bechira of a person, the choices a person makes, are in davening. Davening is where you express your opinion of what you would like in life. When a person davens for Ruchnius, they've chosen something and they get points for it. He says that's why it's called, tefillah is called hishtabchus ha-nefesh. Nefesh is your choices, your ratzon. It's where you show Hashem what you want. You did that. You have the credit of that metzias, because that is something that's yours. And a person has to daven for these things. Rav Yerucham writes in Parsha Shlach that we find that if you're a Baal Atahir, if you're somebody who's going on Hashem's team, then Hashem's going to help you. If not, the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Dalet that Hashem doesn't help you mess up. He just opens the door for you. Poskan lo, He opens up the door. He says, okay, goodbye. And He says, everybody that Hashem says goodbye to goes down the drain. They're smoking up somewhere in Crack Square. 3 days after, Hashem opens up the door for them. They go, it happens so fast. So fast. As soon as you decide you're not on the team, you're toasted. But somebody that's above the tahir, Hashem is protecting them on all angles. You know how many people want to go on a chill that's so totally inappropriate and it gets ruined in their face? This has happened to many people in the room. They wanted to do something really bad, and Hashem, Ki'ilu, didn't let it happen. Says Rav Yerucham, that's this. You daven Hashem a lot of times when you don't have the clarity, He'll mess it up. The Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam in Perek Tes says, you know Hashem loves you when you try to do averas and they somehow get messed up in the middle. He says, it's a siman that Hashem likes you. Where does that come from? It comes from when in Ava Rabba, a person says, Vahare neinu b'sayresecha, Hashem, during the day I don't have that clarity. But right now I'm asking you, you do the work for me. Hashiveinu avinu b'sayresecha, you schlep me into your Torah. When you do that, your metzias in the world is a totally different metzias. You're tapped in. And the midos of a person, Rabosai, in Elokai Netzor, the Vilna Gaon says, Elokai Netzor l'shoni meiros v'asai midaber mirma, don't let me be a deceitful person. Don't let me be a tricker. Mirma is when I'm two-faced. I don't want to be two-faced. Psach libi b'sar asecha, he learns, is I shouldn't be a Baal Taiva. I should like learning. Usually if you're a very big Baal Taiva, it's very hard to learn. Nafshi kafra kol tia, I should be a modest person. I shouldn't be a controlling person. Why are you asking Hashem for this? Shape up! Be a man! The answer is you can't do that. There's too many ugly parts of us. You can daven for it, and when you daven for it and you try to work together, everything goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. He takes it to the next madrega. And the Yisod HaDavar is that a person is so incredibly frail. Ad kedei kach, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal said about himself that he would not want to be in a room. He would not trust himself in a room with cash. That nobody's watching it, just leave him with cash there. He wouldn't trust himself in a room. And Rav Yerucham says about himself, after quoting Rav Yisrael Salanter, he goes, I know about myself too, I wouldn't trust myself. Why in the world are you the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva then? We should get somebody else. You see what he just said in public? He said this in public, Rav Osai, let's put it on YouTube and then it'll be finished. The answer is, Rav Yerucham understood, and Rav Yisrael Salanter understood, that's not what makes the greatness of a man. Rav Yerucham says the only answer is, the greatness of every person is that if they make it a day without a chait, if they go into the shuk, he says, with good-looking clothing, and they don't get into trouble, they should totally accredit that to Borei Olam watching over them. He says, take absolutely no credit. He says, somebody with good-looking clothing goes into the shuk and makes it back still a Jew? He says, such a person, Hashem took care of that. He says, because we find that if you really look at what's going on inside of us, there's no way we can make it. And if a person taps into this, he taps into the Ani. The Zohar HaKadosh says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers tefillahs. Who does he answer the tefillahs the most of? Not Moshe, not David. Who does he answer the most? The Ani, the poor person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers the Ani. Why does he answer the Ani the most? The answer is simple. That a poor person, everybody's coming with a cup to Hashem. Right? You have a cup and Hashem fills it. Right? So if you come with a huge empty cup, so then Hashem will throw in all this bracha to you. Right? But if you come, you know, you're full. You don't need anything. You're just going through. These crazy rabbis are telling us we have to make it for chakras, for incentives. We're going to this. So then you're coming with this little Dixie cup. You're saying, Hashem, I have everything in life except for this Dixie cup. He fills the Dixie cup. But if somebody says, I have nothing, I'm an Ani, Hashem just pours everything in on the person. The more you feel like you have nothing, that's how much Hashem puts inside of you. And an Ani taps into the Metzias that he needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need me? Everything he asked for, he's reached a level that's higher than Moshe Rabbeinu, because his life shows that he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person realizes this, then he goes everywhere, and I think this is pshat in Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital says a very strange thing, and with this we'll end. It's painful to end, there's so much more to talk about, but with this we'll end. Rav Chaim Vital says the following thing. He says that in our generation, the Ikar Avoda is davening. The Ikar Avoda is davening, very interesting. I mean, they should put that on big signs somewhere, nobody told us, right? Rav Chaim Vital says, the earlier generations is for learning, us is davening. And he said that 500 years ago, okay? That was when there were very big people around already that were considered people who should be focusing on davening. And the question is, why is davening the focus for us? It sounds like we can shine in davening. We can shine in davening, right? We could shine. But nevertheless, I don't know, it seems so hard. What is it about us that's special in davening? I'm going to say something a little bit drastic, but I believe that this is the answer. You know why we can strive in davening so well? The earlier generations were so big. They were so big. When they came to davening, it was hard for them to feel small. I mean, they had so much shas and poskim and all these things, and they had such refined midas. They were such good things. We were like the biggest losers, okay? We are the biggest losers, okay? We are the biggest aniyim known to mankind. We are the rock bottom generation, okay? We space out in less than 1.5 seconds. We've already spaced out multiple times. Multiple times. Even when it looks like we're concentrating, we spaced out 30 or 40 times. And then when we go like this, we're going, everyone's looking how I'm concentrating. That's how pathetic we are. Even when we're big Gaiva man. It's like, here I am, concentrating. Now I'm with the Shver thing. Okay, I sit in the front. It's much harder for me. I always feel like I have an audience. You know what I mean? So we're such losers, Rabosai. A loser could daven the best. If you realize you're an Ani, if you realize you're from this generation and you realize you don't have everything, then when you daven, all you have to do is ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws it in. We should all be Zocha, Rabosai. There's a romus, there's an excitement to davening. It takes time, but it takes a seriousness to know that a lot's riding on this. Our children's shiduchim are already riding on Bakram Shemona Esrei's. We don't know how the surplus works, Rabosai. We don't know when it starts. It's all going on this, and it's not pressure. When you walk in there and you feel that your davening matters, it's a beautiful experience. When you feel that you could really save 3 kids if you have a good Shemona Esrei, you feel important. You feel uplifted. When you feel that you could save your own child, when you feel you could save your marriage, when you feel you could save anything with a tefillah, you feel big. We should all be zochah to have this relationship with God.